Well, let's dive right in. 1 Timothy is where I want to look at this morning. In my prayerful consideration of where to share, it's always something that I have a tendency to do is to consider what Jesus would have me say. It's probably a good idea, amen? But as I was looking at this, I couldn't help but to wonder, was this the right word? And but I believe it is. So we're going to be going here in 1 Timothy chapter 2. I also wanted to just tell you how humbling an experience it is for me to minister here. This is one of the places that I feel most humbled at ministering. And it's good to see Ray. I ain't seen Ray in a while. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I wanted to have an opportunity to just tell you how much we enjoyed that. I did personally enjoyed that praise and worship. Amen. Some of the lyrics in them were just woof, man. I remember the first time I saw in the scriptures where the Bible says that in Ephesians 1, that we were chosen before the foundation of the world. And I was like, I don't want to think about nothing else. I'm right there. I don't want to see another verse, nothing. Right there. I want to think about that. Chosen? You chose me before you created the world? Nothing else. I don't want to think about nothing else. I just want to think about that. That is the preciousness of the Word of God. But when truth comes and saturates in your heart. Hi, Deborah. Praise the Lord. What a joy it is, I think, personally, for us to saturate in it and marinate in that truth. And sometimes, you can get to where you bother people that you live with because you don't want to talk to them. Amen. you just want to think about that word that you got. Amen. So this is a hint for people that are on the left side of me. Now, I want to, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you. We do so appreciate you, Lord, and we thank you for your precious word. What a joy it is to be here, Lord, on this very special occasion. Thank you for this man and woman of God and for these who have come to stand by and with and for this vision and with this man and woman of God. We thank you for them today. Lord, I ask, amen, that yes, that you would guide me by the Holy Spirit and speak, Lord, to us all. We entrust this time to you, to your grace, and to the unction of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. And now, Father, we know the work that you're doing in part. And we, Lord, at least want to bring honor to the vessel in which you brought it through. In Jesus' name, amen. At Grace Church, which we affectionately call it at Maryland Correctional Training Center, I wish you all could have an opportunity to see what actually transpires during the week. I would say now at least 75% of what's happening there is a direct response to what Pastor Bales has brought there. And we're trying to get it to get to be 95 or 100%. During Tuesday, we have what we call Chapel Library. And guys have one-on-one counseling. We call it prayer counseling. The guys will come up and they'll sit chairs across from one another. And one of the guys who's been trained, either through certificate program or through seminary program there, will counsel one of the other guys through whatever they may be going through. During the week, there are tier studies all over the compound. Now, I don't know if you know what that's like, but it's like being in a room with people hollering and TV up as loud as it be, guys gambling, playing cards, and these guys got Bible study in that same place. And everybody that's teaching all over the compound has their background from CTS. Amen? We used to have trouble with the Muslims in confounding our guys. It's been quite a while since that's been an issue. Praise God. And all the things that we're seeing, you know, we can't necessarily put our hand on everything because, you just can't tell what all God is doing. But we do know that there's a far-reaching effect. Guys have been released who have been graduates. Guys have been released who at least have been through the certificate program. Guys have been released or have sat under the teachings that have come from this man of God. All I want to tell you is that you, Pastor Bells, have... Well, I like to be around when you get rewarded. Amen. And I've said that before, but I don't want to be around when some people are judged. You know, say, hold up, that I'll come later, amen. But whatever the case is, we know that we have been blessed from this man of God and what he's brought to so many. And I'm just very proud to be his friend. Amen? Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Hallelujah. I was thinking about one more thing I'd like to say along that line. I was thinking about some of the people that have said things to me, Chaplain Banks, you've really done this, you've really done that. When I thought about that, I really have to stop them. It's not that I'm against anybody saying something that the Lord used you to do, but last month in September, we had a whole month designated to who on earth is Jesus Christ, a teaching that has come out of the seminary. All inmates taught it. And it was par excellence. I wish you could have been there to hear it. I wish you could have heard what these guys are teaching. Exceptional. I can only imagine what you get week to week here. And may I urge you to appreciate it. Because you can turn the television on and hear garbage. Not everyone, of course. But you do hear garbage many times from the television preachers. You wonder, how did they get that podium? How did they get so much air time? And then I think about what this man has taught, and you think, my God, this teaching is superb. I even had to take some of my own cassettes and hide them. I didn't want nobody to hear that. I said, man, I wish I'd have learned this years ago. How many of you are blessed from the teaching from Pastor Bales? Amen. Amen. Well, you'll have your chance. Now's mine. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good, amen, and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I'm not lying. and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. Now, God would have people of all races, is what it's talking about, everywhere. There is no race of people, no kindred or people of tongue in which God has turned his back to. Praise God. And all people everywhere, and I think about this church, which is a wonderful example. Praise God. Because God is that kind of God. Amen. And in heaven, we're going to see people from all races, of all kindreds, of all tongues. Well, we'll be there together to worship him and to bless his holy name. Amen. And I rejoice in that. The verse 8 says, therefore, I want men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. Men to pray everywhere. Hallelujah. And we are admonished, charged even, that we should pray for those who are in authority. And I'm not saying this because of election. It's a reality that we need to be praying for every person in authority. We need to lavish them with our prayers because apparently God finds it significant. And it's an awesome thing to stop and think about for a moment. That God incorporates us. That we work together with God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm a little bit on the emotional side, so I may ask for amens. I might make you a little uncomfortable, but I like a little feedback, but you can be all right with that. Now, here's an understanding that I want you to see. We need to pray. He says, request, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving. Now, notice in the previous chapter, he even talks about Hymenaeus and Alexander, who blasphemed. They made shipwreck of their faith. Now, I'm not sure if this is related to what's written there in Numbers, the Old Testament, chapter 15, where the Bible talks about they had purposefully and despondently turned away from the commandments, and it was considered blasphemy. But whatever the case is, what these two men's sin was very serious, in so much that Paul turned them over to Satan that they would not blaspheme. Then coming right into the next chapter, he talks about, I urge, therefore, that we would pray. Hallelujah. For those in leadership, that we would pray for them. I don't need to tell you, and I think you know that we need to be praying for our government officials big time. But we don't need to just be praying for them. We need to be laboring for them in prayer. You know, there's these kinds of prayers, and I don't mean to make light of this because, you know, God hears stuff that we don't always think he does, and God's not always into the prayer that we think, man, God heard that. You know, you can't judge like that. God hears things from the heart, and he is not moved like we're moved. But I do think we had to get beyond the brief. You know, we have these little books that we call briefs. That means we're short time in it. And we have brief praying. Hallelujah. Lord bless the president. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. But it takes a little more than that. And sometimes in prayer, we are directed. In fact, we always want to get to where all of the Godhead is involved in our praying. Our praying should be to the Father under the banner of the righteousness and through our high priest, the Lord Jesus. That was a beautiful song, too. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit should be directing our praying. I can't get no amen in Twinbrook.
And the reality here is that we need to understand this, is that all of the Godhead needs to be involved in our prayer. But sometimes the Lord holds you in prayer. Amen. You ever have that happen where you can tell, I can't get up? First thing that I want to do and tell you is that every pastor loves to hear this statement. I'm praying for you. Those are joyful words. I'm praying for you. Praise God. Because of all the things that we know, we have people who encourage us. They send us offerings. I'm sure Pastor Bell's not against that, but we have other things. But one of the greatest things that we enjoy hearing is that I am praying for you, Pastor. All those in authority should be receiving intercession, request, prayers, and thanksgiving. Amen. The Father wants to hear you say, Father, I thank you for my pastor. Pastors of this caliber, y'all, are not everywhere. I hang out with this brother sometimes. It's amazing because, and we go out to eat. When we go to Bob Evans, I pay. Amen. But when we go to Longhorn, he pays. I don't know how that works out. Hallelujah. Someone said I'm wise. I don't know. But the idea is I hang out with him. I know the quality of what he flows in. And I appreciate him so much. My God, what a difference it's made in my personal life. Sometimes I'm sharing with my wife and she thinks that was stuff I studied out. And she said, wow. Amen. But you know the reality is, and I want you to understand, we should be praying for those who are in authority. Let me tell you something. There needs to be this understanding that we want to live godly, quiet, honest, and peaceful lives. But look what the Lord is forefronting us with. We should pray for those who are in leadership so that can be the result. Because literally those who are in authority can really run havoc with our lives, with their decisions. They can be tremendously detrimental to the work of God. Beloved, there's a major task at our hands. People need to know this Jesus. Other sheep he has that are not of this fold, he must also bring them. There are people who are hurting and are in pain that we can help. I was reading a thing on psychology today, and it was talking about the fads that are in psychology. I don't know if there's any psychologists here, but please tolerate this. They wrote it. I didn't write it. But in the psychology today, they said there are so many fads in psychology. It has become to where diagnosis is oftentimes premature. They said it, I didn't. And again, I thought to myself, and please hear me now, I thought to myself, wait a minute now, you mean to tell me that the diagnosis that we depend on when they say that you are bipolar, you walk away, I am bipolar in your head. How detrimental if you're not actually bipolar? The Christian needs to realize the wealth that he or she possesses in them. It's wealth. Hallelujah. The fact there are riches in us. Think about this. We house God. In us, the Holy Spirit. Good God. The Holy Spirit's there. We have solutions we haven't tapped yet. Answers that we could get if we would only pray. And oftentimes while we are laboring on behalf of other people in prayer, we get our own answers. God has designed many things like that. As you pray for others, it comes this way. As you reach for others, it comes that way. When you sow in the lives of others, it comes this way. And I don't want to get into that kind of a thing per se, but it does work like that. we are to pray for all men. Prayer for leaders and those in high authority. Prayer for your pastor should be powerful, sincere, and heartfelt. He watches for your soul. He feeds you. He likewise prays for you. Prayers for our leaders should be intense for obvious reasons, but we enjoy or are hindered by their decisions. I can't emphasize that enough. However, no leader or otherwise can blame their failures on your not praying for them. I remember this one guy, I don't want to get into to this, but I remember this one guy, and I need to share this because he fell. He got to be rather well known, and he fell into some type of sin, and I don't want to get into that because, you know, I always gingerly talk about that because, you know, you want to be very, very careful whenever you're mentioning stuff like that. But he fell. He got up on stage and he blamed the people. He said, "I fell because you didn't pray for me." Beloved, nobody's ever to blame for your fall but you. But there is a reality. When we are praying for others, we ourselves get built up. And at the same time, we are building them up. Amen? Hallelujah. Thus the call to make requests, the call to pray, the call to intercede, and the call to give thanks in prayer. We heard it multiplicity of times, our need to pray. This is not deep, but it is amazing how we sit it on the back burner. I don't know what it is about it. I guess the adversary must, but I can start to pray and I see dust that I've never saw before. It's amazing. I can sit and I'm getting ready to pray, but there, I got to clean it now. It's just, you can see stuff that you never saw. Stuff happens you never saw. Suddenly, out of nowhere, you have to fix that tape player. It was there 3 months. But now it's just something he wants to keep us out of this area. And he does so, as you know, quite successfully. Most Christians, when you ask them, to be honest, if I was to ask you, okay, what about your Christian life would you like to improve in? It's just almost across the board. We almost unanimously say, I need to pray more. See, the things about prayer that makes prayer interesting, and when it's not about you. I mean, you can only talk about you so long. But look at all the other people that need prayer. And that enriches our prayer life. And oh, how that affects you spiritually. And you start to develop a compassion. They say, wow, I didn't know that. And you feel people's pain. Prayer is admonished in this text. It has been taught to us and preached to us. We are desperately compelled to have rich prayer lives. If any of us asked any person in here, what time do you pray or when do you pray? It's not necessarily how early or how late, although we know the master woke up a great while before day and prayed. The issue really is that you are developing in your intimacy with God in praying for others. If you are saying to yourself, yeah, I need to really get on my prayer life, I want you to do so, and I encourage you to do so today in Jesus' name without condemnation, but with joy. Spend more time with him. Even if you can hang out with God. You remember John said that that truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You can spend, you know you're with God. You're in the room, same room, dumb old room, look like it, you ain't changed nothing around. Same you in that room. But now you're there with God, and you know you're being with God. You're not saying anything, but you're spending time with God. And it's amazing the things He will show you and the things He will give you to pray about. One of the things is, sometimes you can tell people pray for you, Pastor, just by what they'll do for you. They'll know sometimes the right thing to help you with just because they pray for you. It's amazing. A.W. Tozer said that God is always previous. When I said that, I got so fascinated by that. He is the one who gives us a call to pray. So nobody who's a prayerful person can, you know, can be busy, because God is the one who actually put that on them. In fact, God is, He kind of amazes you that he initiates everything. Then He's in the thing. And then He results the thing. And so God initiates you to pray, gives you what to pray, empowers the prayer, and then answers it. So we tend to be very thankful people when we pray, because we realize we had nothing to do with this. Yet the idea is that God is always initiating us in this area of prayer. God's behind it. You know, sometimes when you call and somebody's coming up to you and you can see the pain that they're in, you feel that it was your personal care for that individual, and there is a human part of that now, so I'm not refuting that. But God is the one who would be actually behind giving you how to pray for that person. And God would be the one igniting the compassion. He is the one who teaches us to pray effectively. He is the one who even helps us through the Holy Spirit to direct what we should pray for. Praise God. In fact, all of the Godhead are involved with spiritual praying. Look what Paul said in Philippians 1:19. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I know that through your prayers. Hallelujah. Can you just slip that hand in the air and just say, Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Listen, that's the importance of prayer. Thank you. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who's working in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God's igniting it. God's behind it. And let me tell you something, the church can get much done with this kind of praying. Everybody tends to think, and I'm concluding, just so you know, my conclusions are eventual, but I am concluding. Everybody has a tendency to want to feel important. Was it Laszlo or Maslow or somebody's theory of man's whatever he needs? I forget what it is, but There is a need in mankind to have a sense that they're valuable, significant. And I don't think that's totally something that we should giggle at, but God gives us significance far beyond we ever could have humanly. And when I know who I am in Him, when I got saved, I gave my heart to the Lord. I leaped in the air. I was Presbyterian. Well, when I say I was Presbyterian, I wasn't studying anything, but I went to Presbyterian church. But when I went to the church that day, I went to a church of God in Christ and got saved, and I leaped in the air. Presbyterians don't leap in the air. I leaped. And when I leaped, I shouted and said, I'm a child of God. I had no background, no backdrop, didn't have understand nothing. But I suddenly knew I was in the family. And I was, listen, my sonship, I'm happy about being a pastor. Don't misunderstand me. Appreciate that. Praise God. Thank God for being a child. But the thing that excites me is my sonship. I'm a son. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. That's what makes me excited. So when I go to God, I'm not trying to go to gain significance. Hallelujah. When I go to God, I'm not going trying to be somebody. I'm starting from a premise. I'm in the family. I'm accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah. And the reality is, when I go to God, then when I pray, I'm not praying from a premise to get somewhere with God. Praying from a premise of thank you for what you've done for me. Now, Lord, I ask you for John Doe and Jane Smith. I know that there's nobody on the planet named Doe, but there are Smiths. So if there's a Jane Smith here, I'm not talking about I'm really praying for you. But the idea is I want you to know that. Let me say this. God makes us able ministers. We're not able just because we're articulate. We're not able because we have certain degrees or a certain level of education. We're not able because of the size of our congregation. We're not able because of the car that we drive. We're not able in anything of ourselves. The Bible plainly says, and Paul was the one who wrote it, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. But then he goes on to write, who has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Praise God. Just like people should minister to other people knowing that God will work through them, the same context is how we pray, knowing that God will work through us while we're praying. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ wants us to realize that prayer is his idea. I come from a church where they thought prayer was definitely their idea. But prayer is God's idea. None of us were smart enough to come up with it. He did that. And he meets us right there in prayer. I believe that we're looking at a time, I don't understand it. I don't want to mess with that, the time that we're living in. I'm not predicting anything. I'm not coming from that. But I'm 56 years old. I've never seen a time like this. Never seen a day like this. I'm not a doom and gloom guy at all. But I've never seen a day like this. I know that one of the things that's most essential is for us to develop rich prayer lives. But it's so important that we enter prayer with a proper understanding. He has positioned us to be heard. If we're in the family, if we're saved. Let me say another thing. I believe that Jesus Christ wants us to move from a position of I prayed and got that answer, or I saw this miracle at this time, and to become active, engaging in seeking him. On the behalf of others. Yeah. Yeah. the more we pray for our officials, the more we pray for our senators and congressmen, the more we pray for the president, vice president, his staff, the more we pray for our mayor and governor, the more we pray for our pastors and business leaders, the more we pray. If you're in an auxiliary in the church and you're not leading it, the best thing you can do for that leader is spend time praying for them. Without announcement. I believe then. Because if God's not answering the prayer, it normally, let me say it like this. When we feel that God's not hearing our prayers, we go to action. You're in an auxiliary, nothing happened, you don't like what's happening. You prayed a few prayers, nothing changed. We go to work. And we mess stuff up. But if we'll keep seeking God and keep praying, he'll deal with us. And almost always, I remember praying for years about my wife. Lord, you can do something with this woman. I remember I went to God about her over and over again. And the Lord kept dealing with me about me. I thought that was so unfair. The only thing, I'm serious, I'm not playing. This ain't even right. I told him one time, I said, I saw her do it in prayer. Lord didn't pay that no mind. He kept dealing with me. And here's what he told me. You correct you and your family will follow. So easy to complain about somebody, isn't it? But God's expect us to change things through prayer. And oftentimes, the one who needs to be changed